Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's shir begins the third parak of Masechet Sukkah, Lulav HaGazal. It's going to be basically covering the Gemara on Chav Tesma Beis, Lamed Amud Aleph. And the topic of the shir is Hidur Mitzvah, Beauty is in the Dry of the Beholder. Our Mishnah begins with a number of dinim regarding the Lulav, which we use, of course, for the Talmud Minim. And it starts with the words, Lulav HaGazel V'Hayavish Pasol. A stolen lulav and a dry lulav are a pasol. They're invalid for use on Sukkot. They're disqualified. And if somebody would take such a lulav, they would not be Yotzi the Mitzvah. While the Gemara spends a lot of time on Daf Lamed, discussing the reason for the psul of Lulav HaGazel and the implications, the question I want to discuss is Yavish. Why is a dried up lulav pasul? So first of all, before we even discuss as to why it's pasul, let's first discuss exactly what is a lulav hagazel. What is exactly a lulav hayavish? What exactly is a dried lulav that would be pasul? And in order to go ahead and do this, we see there's actually a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. First, you have Tosos. And at the bottom of the first Tosfos, in the Perek, Tosfos explains, and I'll read you the words, Ela yesh lomer yavshus tahacha. Rather, you should say that the dryness by over here with the lulav, kimo yavshus ozen bechor, it's like what happens when a bechor develops a mum where its ear kind of dries up. Disnam beperek al ilum mumin, Rabbi Yossi ben hamishulam omer, yavsha, what does the yavsha mean? The yavsha means the dryness over there is achet tehene frechas b'tziporin. Until if you actually touch it, it's going to actually crumble. So the type of dryness that we're speaking about in terms of a lulav, according to Tosos, is something to the point where you actually touch the lulav and the lulav disintegrates. This is something which you're going to buy any type of lulav before Sukkot. It's not going to happen. You're just not going to have a situation where the lulav is going to be so touched, that it's so dry, that when you touch it, it's going to crumble. So it only happened maybe months after Sukkot. Unless you buy a lulav or you take a lulav in the middle of the summer and just leave it sitting around. That's the first thing. However, the Ritva brings down that this is not the case, but rather, he has a different shot. It says, V'nirin divrei ha'omrim shepisulo kashem bo lachluchis v'hu ke'etz yovesh. Then when we say dryness, it's not dry to the point where it crumbles. It has no moisture whatsoever. But here, it just looks like a dried up branch. The simano, and what is the sign of a lulav that's dry? Kishenishtanim marehu v'hafach lavan. When its appearance has changed and it's totally white. V'chein das mori neiru b'shem rabosai. And this is, again, what the Ritva's Rebbeim came up with and had said. So this is what the Ritva says. So we have a machlokas again between the Ritva and Tosfos, as to whether dryness means is literally has to crumble in your hand, or does dryness mean that it's turned white? Regarding the halacha, in Simin Tafresh Memhe, the Mechaber writes, Lulav sheyav sherov alav or shedraso. So it says, when either most of its leaves or the shedra become dry, pasul, it's invalid. Vishira yavoshas, what exactly does it mean? What's the measurement of a dry lulav? It says, Shmeshe yichle maris yarok shabo. From when the greenness disappears, v'albinu panav, and it actually looks to be white. So if you have a lulav that appears to be white, so that lulav is going to be invalid on Sukkot, and that can actually happen over Sukkot. So you can actually do that in certain situations. My son told me this year that he's in Eretz Yisrael, and he was traveling around during Bein HaZmanim, and I guess his lulav stayed out a little bit too much, and also with the heat over there, and he actually had to buy himself a different lulav, because he felt that he had a dry lulav, and he said he can tell it the way it is there. It was completely white. However, the Ramah brings down, The Ramah brings down Tosos Hashita. And the Ramah adds, and this is the custom in our Medinos, in our countries. Now, if the Ramah stopped there, it would be one thing, but the Ramah writes, which don't have a lot of lulavin. Looking at this last line, you can clearly understand that the Ramah is taking the leading approach because of the circumstance. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Ramah really ascribes to this kulul l'chadchila, but rather because of the circumstance that there are not so many lulavim, so then, yeah, we'll matir a white lulav, or a lulav that's a little bit white, versus having no lulav at all. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, V'rov poskim l'hiskimu l'pei rezeh, elo sh'ramah kasav dey azoh k'dei liyashiv min hagam. That really, most poskim don't follow this kula of the Ramah, but rather what the Ramah was doing was justifying their custom and their practice, she'nagu kachdim komosav, that they followed this practice in his locale, because there aren't a lot of lulavim. Al-Kain, therefore, ein lach hakel bazek kol zaman sheish be'ir lach. So, but the Ramah says, therefore, we should not really be makel in a situation like this, like the Ramah. And general minhag, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is not to allow a lulav with whiteness to be used, especially today where it's attainable to get a lulav. All throughout Sukkot, I know walking into Kosher Connection on Hoshana Rabbah, I saw that they even had lulavim for sale. I guess some of the mochrim gave it and they were there, and they were able to go ahead and sell it. If you really needed it, you could have gotten it. Okay, so now we see what dry is. And what the halach l'mais according to the Mishnah Berurah is, dry is that it's white. The question is, though, why is it possible? So, we're going to have a very basic machlokas between the very basic Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, as to what makes a lulav hayavish puzzle. And again, as we say so often during this series of shiurim, it's not just the what, it's the why, because the why has implications. And Rashi comes out and says, what makes a yavish puzzle? Rashi says, the be'inan mitzvah mehuderes, you need a beautiful mitzvah, dechsiv v'yanvehu. What's this all about? There's a concept of hitter mitzvah, making mitzvahs beautiful. And this is learned out from the Pasuk in Az Yashir, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zekeli v'yanvehu. It means this is my God and I will build a house for it. But there's another pshat that the Gemara gives. And that's just not that just I'm going to build a house from the word naveh, but also Zekeli v'yanvehu, and I'll make him beautiful. And in fact, the Gemara in Shabbos, that Kufla Megillah and Beis limbs out from here, that a person should be his non of the mitzvos. Desanya, Zekeli v'yanvehu. This is my God and I will make him beautiful. His non of the mitzvos. I say lecha sukkah noem, make a beautiful sukkah, the lulav noem, a beautiful lulav, shofar noem, tzitzis noem, sefer Torah noem, kosu bo lishmo bidyona, when you're writing a sefer Torah, you write with beautiful ink, bekumos noem, a beautiful pen, belav l'ruman, with a great, with this gil sofer, v'koruchu b'shiroi noem, and you wrap up the Torah with beautiful silk. Again, we want to make our mitzvahs beautiful. So comes Rashi and says that this lack of hiddur, or beauty from a dried up lulav will disqualify it from its use, which seems to be a major chiddush that we see over here, that a lack of a hiddur mitzvah, which we might associate as being something extra, is something which is actually going to be ma'akiv. And in light of the fact that this sounds like such a big chiddush, Tosfos actually jumps in and for this reason is going to ask a kasha on Rashi. And Tosfos says, basically, since when is v'yanvehu something which is going to pass to something l'chachila? Hiddur mitzvah we always associate as being something which is an anon, a very important anon, but not something which is going to go ahead and pass a mitzvah. And in fact, Tosfos proves that hiddur mitzvah doesn't pass a lulav. As we see, k'demuchach perek kamas, it says it's proven in the first perek of Sukkah, the amri rabbanan lulav mitzvah la'agdo. There's a mitzvah to tie up the lulav with the other four species. We actually do this where we have the lulav branch, and right, we make those little lulav holders. That's the mikayim, the mitzvah of eged. We tie all the minim and the lulav together. Mishum shenemar zekeli v'yanvehu. However, lo agdo, if you didn't do it, it's kosher. So this is a very, very strong kasha. And logically, Rashi's position is difficult. Why would hitter, which all agree is something extra, pasul a mitzvah? And moreover, Tosfos has a proof. So before we get into defending Rashi, let's first go ahead and explain. Actually, you know what? Maybe we'll go the other way around. So this question on Tosfos is a really, really strong kasha. So how could Rashi stand up to this? So the truth is, many Achronim try to address this Rashi, is after all, Tosfos' question is so strong. And one answer I saw brought down in the name of the Chasam Sofer actually says and is going to qualify the concept of hiddur mitzvah, and it says that not all hiddur mitzvah are created the same. And what does this mean? The Chasam Sofer says that we can make a chiluk within the opinion of Rashi between different examples of hiddur. What do we mean? Let's take the example of a lack of hiddur by Yovesh. A lack of hiddur by Yovesh is a lack in the direct object or the chefts of the mitzvah. Meaning, the object of the mitzvah is a lulav. When the lulav is white, dried up, according to the way we paskin, when it's all dried up, the lulav itself is missing beauty. That beauty is affecting the actual object of the mitzvah. When we're talking about an eged, though, the eged, according to Rashi, is not the actual object of the mitzvah. It's an addition, meaning there's nothing lacking with the object of the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos if you don't tie them together. What the eged does is the eged is an additional layer of beauty. And that's not going to be ma'akev of the mitzvah. So what Rashi is going to be telling us, and this way we can answer up Tosus' question, is that Rashi is going to be saying that, what? When we're telling me that hiddur mitzvah is ma'akev, I'm going to tell you that hiddur mitzvah is ma'akev when the hiddur is in the actual object itself. Meaning, do you have something which beautifies the object itself, the lulav itself, or do you have something, right? But, or it doesn't. Dry lulav is going to go ahead and be a psul in the actual object of the lulav. However, if you're going to go ahead and tell me about an egged is an add-on. The add-ons are wonderful, but if you're missing an add-on, that's not going to completely disqualify the mitzvah that you're doing over here. So that's how Rashi will understand, that's how we can answer up Tosfos' kasha on Rashi. So what does Tosfos say? So Tosfos says, again, so then why would be a lulav yavesh be aser? So Tosfos says in Mefarish Gemara, Mishum de iskish lulav the esrog, that no, the issue is that lulav is compared to an esrog. And how is lulav compared to an esrog? It says, Dechsid ve'hadar, because what happens? Lekachil lachem bayom rishon creates hadar. This is the definition of the esrog. The esrog is something which is called creates hadar. It's the pre of the beautiful tree. But there's sheetahs in the Gemara that learn out that it not only is just describing the tree, but it's describing the beautiful fruit. And right afterwards, it says kapos tamarim. Lekachil lachem bayom rishon creates hadar kapos tamarim. And what the Gemara is doing, or the Tosfos is saying, what we're doing over here is that we're saying we're giving kapos tamarim the lulav the same halachos as the esrog. So just like an esrog has a requirement of hadar, or to be beautiful, so too a lulav also has the idea of being beautiful. Now, interestingly enough, when we were talking about the eged, or the hiddur mitzvah, what Tosfos is going to actually say, when Tosfos asked this kasha on Rashi that you mentioned before, Tosfos is going to actually say that the difference between the hiddur mitzvah, the Tosfos will actually ascribe that, yes, we do make a chiluk between a hiddur mitzvah in the object and a hiddur mitzvah that's an accoutrement. Tosfos might subscribe to that position also, except what the Chasam Sofer says is that according to Tosfos, since the eged is something which actually binds the lulav together, he gives it a din as almost the cheftz of the mitzvah itself. And because he does that, it would be on the same plane. So therefore, that's why Tosfos has to come to the pshat of hadar and not hiddur, because Tosfos says if the two of them are exactly the same, and we are considering, and we are viewing, and we are viewing the eged of a lulav to be on the same equal plane as like as a cheftza of the mitzvah in that case, and that type of hiddur is the same type of a thing, if that's not ma'akev, then yavesh should not be ma'akev also. So therefore, Tosfos has to come up with the idea that the psul of yavesh is one in hadar and not in hiddur. Now, interestingly enough, Rav Zilberstein asks a question, he goes, what about if a person has a choice between buying a mechudar lulav or a mechudar esrog? What would be the halach in that case? And again, Rav Zilberstein writes that we have to go ahead and take this idea of making the qualifications in the time and the hiddur mitzvah is what the hiddur mitzvah is modifying. If we're going to say the hiddur mitzvah is modifying, if the hiddur mitzvah is going to get modifying the actual chefts of the mitzvah, and you're going to have, let's say, for example, something which might disqualify it within the actual thing itself. So then that's going to be a problem. And whichever one is lacking that, that of course has to be taken care of. But if we're talking about an additional accoutrement, so based on what Toso said, that we're learning it out as a hekesh from lulav to esrog, the main one would be the esrog, meaning the nilmad is less important than the lamed, the one that teaches out. So therefore, according to this, if a person had an option of buying a more beautiful lulav or buying a more beautiful esrog, and of course, they're all kosher, and there's no question to the conscience of any of them, Tosos would say that you actually buy the more beautiful esrog, because we compare lulav to esrog, and since the main idea of hidr comes, of beauty, comes, or hadar, comes from the esrog, therefore, that's going to be the one that wins out in this case. Kol tov, have a wonderful week.